Isn't that awesome? What a fun way to start your week. Hey, I want you guys to know, by the way, I had no idea they were going to play Life is a Highway in church. And if you are bothered by that, I want you to write to me, Andy Stanley, Alpharetta, Georgia, and we will take... Now, my name is Rich Barrett, and I'm lead pastor here at Access Church. And just to be able to say that sentence is the result of an amazing work that God has done in my life and in the life of my family over the last couple of years. And it has been incredible. This is my family here. We've got my wife, Stephanie, and my son, Peyton, my daughter, Carly, Chase, and Cutler. They are 9, 8, 6, and 3. And to be part of this organization has absolutely been the thrill of our life. And it has been the culmination of a very tumultuous couple of years, I'll tell you. Some anxiety-filled times, some stress-filled times, some risky moments. But it has also been the most incredible, most rewarding, most exciting thing that we have ever done as a family. And it is so cool to be here with you tonight, and it's such a privilege to say that we can lead this organization. Now, those of you who've met my wife, you will find it very easy to believe that Stephanie was very much sought after in college. In fact, there were a number of young men who aspired to be standing in these shoes right here today. And if you spent any time getting to know me at all, no doubt you've asked yourself the question, how did that guy end up with that amazing woman? And I'm going to share the secret to that with you today. It was, in a word, strategy. Now, you might have thought, well, you know, it's probably his charming good looks or his funny sense of humor or his quick wit or his keen none of that. It wasn't even the Chevy Impala that I was driving at the time. It was while all the other guys had set their sights on the short-term goal of getting a date with Stephanie Webb, I just played it cool and I did the friendship thing, and it paid off. Over the long haul, pretty soon, we've been friends for 5 years, and all the other guys had sort of come and gone, and I chose my opportunity and I made my move. I wish that I could take the credit for it. I still walk around the house and I say, how again, God, did I deserve this amazing opportunity to be married to this woman? And but nevertheless, it's a fun way to introduce what we're going to talk about today, which is strategy. And that is to say that when there is something that important, when there is something that is that essential, when there's something that is so valuable that you want it with all your heart, you recognize that it's not enough to want it, that intention isn't enough. But I better have a strategy, a clear, obvious, proven, successful method for how I'm going to get there. Intention is not enough. You need strategy. And another fun way that we've decided to say that this morning is that destination isn't enough. In fact, you need a roadmap. And that roadmap or that navigation is every bit as important as destination. It reminds me of a story I read recently about a couple that had purchased a new GPS, and they had this little gizmo on their dashboard, and they were excited to use this to navigate across the country to see friends. And they drove 900 miles, and this thing was flawless, directed them at every turn. Until they were 500 feet from their friend's house, and the GPS insisted that they continue straight to their friend's house on the left, 500 feet. But the GPS offered no help whatsoever in terms of how to cross the creek that lay between them and their friend's house. You see, navigation is every bit as important as destination. We were coming back from spring break in college and driving through Atlanta, and there's a place in North Atlanta where 75 and 85 split. And my friend Wendell pulled up next to me in the lane next to me, and he was signaling that that he needed to stop for gas. And I'm signaling back to him, he's in the wrong lane. And he understands this just in time to look up and see the sign, but it's too late. And in an instant, he's headed for Greenville, and I'm headed for Chattanooga. You see, navigation is every bit as important as destination. And you've seen this play in your life, right? You've seen this in your career. You've seen this in your relationships. You've probably seen this in your home, where at some point you said to your spouse, you know, honey, if we want our kids to turn out like that, then we better start now making some strategic, intentional changes in our home. Because if we want to be this kind of family, then we need to make sure that we're taking steps to go in that direction. You've seen it in your career. If your goal is to work in the entertainment industry, you probably didn't start out with an internship at a construction company. That wouldn't have put you on the right course of action. Navigation is every bit as important as destination. And perhaps in an organization like Access Church, it is absolutely more important even than in our lives, because we have to be on the same page as a group of people. We have to all know, why does this organization exist? What is our destination? How are we going to get there? And if you're a guest with us this morning, and this is your first or second time at Access Church, I hope that you're just as excited about this message as those of us that have been here from the very beginning. Because I know that you want to be part of an organization that has a clear, proven, winning strategy. Every one of us wants to be part of something that's bigger than themselves and that is winning. And we want to excite you and encourage you today to say that we're that kind of organization. So it might feel a little bit today like, you know, we're the couple that's up front in the car discussing the map and maybe going back and forth a little bit about where our direction is. And you're sitting in the back seat going, man, I just hope they figure this out because, you know, I'm hungry. And I just want to get to the restaurant. How they get there? Well, we're going to have a conversation this morning about how we get there. And we want to invite you to join us and to listen in a little bit. You've had this experience where you're driving down the road and there's a guy in the left lane in front of you and he's got his left turn signal on, but intersection after intersection, all he does is slow down. He doesn't really turn. And you say to yourself, this guy doesn't know where he's going. No, he knows exactly where he's going. He just has no idea how to get there. And maybe you've seen that in an organization where you say, these are really good people. And they have such good intentions. They have the right goals. They talk about the right things. But after a while, it becomes apparent they aren't sure how to get there. And we want to be absolutely sure, crystal clear as an organization, that not only do we know where we're going, but that we know how to get there. Now, the first part we've got to answer is, where are we going? And there's no better person to turn to for the answer to that question than Jesus Christ himself. You see, we really believe that these books that make up the Bible, that some of them record the actual occurrences and sayings of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who lived and walked on this earth. And so when we have a big question like this, we want to look to see what Jesus Christ says about the church. And so I'm going to ask you guys to look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to look at the last few verses of the very last chapter of Matthew's account of the life of Jesus. Matthew was an eyewitness to what happened in Jesus' life, and he wrote it down for us. And in the very last chapter, in the last few verses, it records what Jesus said to his disciples just before he left them to go back to heaven. And so you're going to listen in on maybe the last 50 words that Jesus has to say to his disciples. You're going to believe that the last 50 words are going to be pretty important things that he has to say. And he says this to his disciples. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now, if you're a grammar person, you should know there's different kinds of verbs in there. And there is one imperative verb, and it is this: make disciples. You see, when he says go and make disciples, it's there's an assumptive verb there that as you are going, in other words, you're going to be going. You're going to be in the workplace. You're going to be at a family reunion. You're going to be having dinner at your mother's house. Wherever you are, wherever you have the opportunity to be a Christ follower, make disciples. Whatever you are doing, wherever you are going, make disciples. And this is Jesus, remember, summarizing 3 years of ministry into his last time with his disciples. And this is what he says to them: make more disciples. Now, that's a pretty clear mission statement. I can't think of a simpler mission statement that an organization could have than make disciples. But disciple isn't a word that we use a lot in our culture today. And so we wanted to expound on that mission statement here at Access Church, and we just say it a little differently that's maybe easier for us to understand since we don't throw the word disciple around a lot. And we say it like this: that Access Church exists to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's simply what it means to be a disciple and to make disciples, to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus says that if you do this, if you make your life about making disciples, then listen to this promise at the end. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You see, Jesus makes a promise there that if you make your life about this mission, then I will join you in the mission. It'll be bigger than just you. It will be this amazing movement that will sweep all of history. And I will be with you as you make disciples. So there's our mission. There's our destination. There's our end point, to make disciples. Then the question becomes, how? What is our strategy? How do we get there? Well, we really believe that God teaches in the Bible that the church is God's plan A for making disciples. In fact, it's his plan A, it's his plan B, it's his plan C. It is the only plan that God has for making disciples in this world. And this is a local church. Maybe it doesn't have the steeple or the robes or the songs or the ritual that you grew up with or that you're accustomed to. And maybe we sing Life is a Highway on Sunday morning. But this is a local church, because the local church, Jesus defines like this. A local church is a group of people that come together to pursue these three vital relationships. A local church is a group of people that are about pursuing intimacy with God, community with insiders, and influence with outsiders. That's it. When a group of people gather together and they are the body of Christ, they are pursuing intimacy with God, community with insiders, and influence with outsiders. In fact, you can know, Jesus says, if they're keeping the law, you can know if they're loving and obeying God by these three measures. If you call yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ, it is imperative that you pursue intimacy with God, community with insiders, and influence with outsiders. Now, because this is all about relationship, we wanted to have a metaphor to illustrate these relationships and how this takes place, because we can't make that happen in your life. But we can create contexts that are inviting and welcoming, contexts that encourage those kinds of relationships to take place in your life. And since it's a very relational process, we thought we'd talk about a home, because that's where you might invite somebody in and introduce some friends, have them over for dinner. And so we use these three parts of a home to talk about our strategy. We talk about the foyer, that's the area right inside the doorway. We talk about the living room, and we talk about the kitchen. In the foyer, you greet your guests, right? That might be a neighbor who's just come over to meet you, and you're getting to know each other, you're learning each other's names, you're learning the names of each other's kids. That's the foyer. As you get to know each other better, you might have them over for a cup of coffee, and you might sit around in the living room, and you might hear each other's stories a little bit. But there's another room in your house. There's a kitchen. And this is where those conversations take place that life is really all about. You know, that's the stuff that you don't even plan. It's the conversations that take place while you're having breakfast or preparing dinner or cleaning up after dinner. And it's where you find out what is really going on in your husband's life or your wife's life or your kid's life or your roommate's life. This is where life stuff really happens, and that real, honest, genuine dialogue takes place. And so we wanted to use those three environments, kitchen, living room, and foyer, to illustrate what takes place in a home. And we believe that this environment on Sunday morning is a foyer environment. In other words, it's an environment that is intentionally created to help people who don't really like church enjoy coming and hearing about how God and the Bible matter in their daily life. We thought, you know, would it be possible to actually create a church for people that don't like going to church? Could we create an environment on Sunday morning that's engaging and that's exciting and that would connect with unchurched people? And maybe you're asking, well, why does this matter? Well, it matters a lot, because in this generation, in our society, we have people asking more honest, deep, genuine, authentic, vulnerable, spiritual questions than ever before. And yet, this generation is attending church in the lowest numbers in our nation's history. So we have to figure out a way that we can take the real, relevant truth of God and make it matter in people's lives. And we believe that this is a proven strategy. We wanted to create a church for people like this. And we've done this in 17 other cities in North America, and we've seen it work. And you know how we know that it's working? Because we see people who don't even yet agree with our message, who are inviting their friends and saying, man, I just want you to be a part of this. I want you to come and I want you to hear and I want you to listen. So the foyer, this environment on Sunday morning, is not for us. There's a lot of churches out there on Sunday morning that church is for church people. For us on Sunday morning, church is not for church people. It's not for us. It's not for our volunteers. It's not even for you. It's for our friends and our neighbors and our guests. And most importantly, it is for our God who deserves their worship. So once you understand that that the foyer is not about us, and you might think, well then, as a believer, where do I go that I can really be encouraged and loved and challenged, and you know, where do we go deeper, and all those kinds of questions we hear? It's the kitchen. Once you understand the purpose of our foyer environment, that should just drive you all the more to the kitchen and say, I need to be a part of this. And November 4th, Group Link should be in red letters on your calendar. That's 2 weeks from today. And you should say, I am absolutely going to be here because I need to be in community with other couples. I need to be in community with other singles. Because we believe that students need to be in community with other students. And we need to share life and do life together. In fact, one of the ways that we describe this foyer, living room, kitchen thing is to say that we believe that we're a church that is more intentional about reaching people than keeping people. That is a foyer environment. And now there's more environments to come because, you know, I've just outlined three types of environments, right? Say it with me. Foyer, living room, kitchen, right? Guest, friend, family. And we believe that we need to have those kinds of environments at every age level through our church. We start this with kindergartners. They're in small groups right now as kindergartners, and we teach these environments all the way through. But we're not done yet. We've launched some of these environments, but we need to launch some more. We need to launch Chaos and Rush Hour and Fusion and Extreme. And we have so many visions for what God is going to do in Jacksonville through Access Church. We have a clear roadmap. We have a strategy. We know exactly where we're headed, and we know how we're going to get there. And you can help create these environments. You can help to create context for people to build on these three vital relationships in their lives. You know, the truth is this church is doing amazing. I look around and I am blown away by the level of energy, by the people, by the passion, by the excitement that has surrounded Access Church already. And it's not because of anything we're doing. It's because of something that God is doing. And we are so encouraged. Any other church that starts from scratch, it would just be so jealous to have this kind of energy and excitement. And we are so grateful because it really goes back to about 80 volunteers that make this happen every Sunday morning. We are so glad for you. It is so good to feel like we are not in this alone, but we are in this together with you. Thank you for serving, and thank you for giving, and thank you for making this successful. But we've got more to do. And we want more of you to jump on board. Maybe you've been testing the waters for a little bit, and that is fine, but it might be time for you to step up and say, okay, put me in the game. I'm ready to step out of the bleachers, and I'm ready to be a player. Where do you want me? How can I serve? And in fact, some of you have asked the question, well, when will Access Church begin meeting every Sunday? I mean, it's great, it's twice a month, but I want to see Access Church meet every single Sunday. And the answer is simply this: when we have enough volunteers, because I am absolutely committed that this organization be as healthy on the inside as it is on the outside. And that means we respect people's time and their family and their energy, and we will not burn people out. We're in this for the long haul. So we have 80 volunteers, some of which come in on Saturday afternoon, come back in at 5 a.m. on Sunday, and stay here till 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday afternoon. And we say before we can go to every single Sunday, we need to have teams to rotate so that we keep a healthy balance in people's lives. And we need about 60 more volunteers. And if you're interested in being one of those volunteers, I promise you, we will equip you, we will train you, we will apprentice you, we will not just throw you to the wolves, which those are the four-year-olds, We will help you on this journey of serving strategically at Access Church. And there's information at the table in the hallway where you can learn more about what it means to jump in and get in the game. There's another group of people that I want to talk about this morning, which The first time I met this group of people 2 years ago absolutely blew me away. And it has been such an incredible privilege and journey to walk through this time with them. You see, when Access Church was born, we knew that it would cost about $40,000 a month to operate Access Church. That's, you know, if you're a college student and you're living on $40 a month, that's a lot of money. If you're operating a $40 million organization, you know that that's chump change. But for us, because we've done this in 17 other cities, we could say it's going to cost about $40,000 a month to operate Access Church. And we also knew that we would not receive that in the beginning with our Sunday offerings and our gifts that come in the mail. And there was a group of people here in Jacksonville, about eight families, that rose up and said, we will help cover the difference. And that group of families in the last year has given over $235,000 to Access Church to help this church become what it is today. We are so grateful for you. We are so glad that you jumped in and you've joined the mission with us. And there is another group of people who are excited about what's going on at Access Church. And this group of people are really weird because they're 400 miles away. They're in Atlanta, Georgia, and there is a group of families there who have seen what's going on here and have said, we want to provide a special opportunity for Access Church. We want to partner with Access Church. In fact, we will match any visionary giving between now and December 31st at Access Church, dollar for dollar. And all they ask in return is that when we become a financially viable organization, that we give back to other strategic partnerships around the country. That is amazing. That means that if you join us in this mission, if you choose to partner with us, if you choose to help us create environments for middle school students and for high school students and for elementary students and for parents and singles and everything in between, if you choose to help us create this kind of context, there are people 400 miles away that will join you in that mission. And that, I think, is part of what Jesus meant when he said, if you make your life about making disciples, you'll be a part of something so much bigger than you could imagine. You'll be a part of this thing that I call the church, and I will be with you. And we are so excited about that opportunity. It might be time for you to jump in and to join this mission and to help us implement the strategies, the roadmap that takes us from where we are today to where we know we want to be. We would love to have you join us that way. Now, let's talk for a minute about money, because I know that when we talk about giving to the church, it's a delicate thing. You probably have a very strong relationship with your money. Your money's important to you. You probably like your money very much. You have a lot of ways that you need to use your money, and you have a lot of ways that you want to use your money. And if you choose to give your money away, you should approach it very, very carefully. And I want you to know that we will never be the church that always talks about money. In fact, this is the first time in this environment that we have ever talked about money at Access Church. And I know it's weird. I feel weirder than you do right now because I'm the preacher up front and I'm thinking, you guys are thinking about the TV preachers and you're thinking about the people that you've seen who have used the name of God to abuse people financially. And I want you to know that is not who we are or who we will ever be. But at the same time, we can't be the church that never talks about money. Because money is just a real part of doing life. And it's a real part of operating this church. And in fact, it's a real part of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's a real part of saying, God, here's what I have. How will you work in my life? It is a real part of how we change the world. And it is a real part of how God changes us. Because regular giving, the giving that we give through the offering on Sunday or that we send through the mail, is really just an outward expression of that inward voice that says, gee, you know, everything I have comes from God. And everything that I have really belongs to God. And so when I receive from God, it's just the most natural thing in the world for me to give part of it back. So if I receive $10, I'm going to give part of it back to God. And if I receive $100 or $1,000, I'm going to give part of it back to God. Because we believe it's just a biblical practice for believers to give their first fruits back to God. There's another kind of giving that we call visionary giving. And that's where you see something happening and something exciting going on, and you say, I want to be a part of that. I want to help make that happen. I want to be identified with that. That's visionary giving. I've shared with some of you that a few months ago, I was leaving Starbucks, which has become an embarrassingly routine event for me. And I had my cup of coffee in my hand, and I thought back to the very first time that I was at a Starbucks 10 years ago on the West Coast. And I thought, oh man, if only I had bought stock in Starbucks way back when. I mean, not only what would that have done for my portfolio, but how cool would it be to say to my friends, oh, I was a believer. I saw that one coming. I knew from the very beginning that Starbucks was going to change the landscape of our culture. I could see it. I was a visionary. I invested way early on. Well, we are not ashamed to say that we believe that Access Church is a great place for you to make an investment this morning, because this is an organization that knows without doubt what our destination is, and even better, we have a roadmap for how we're going to get there, because we believe that navigation is every bit as important as destination. Now, I know that when we talk about this, this brings up a lot of emotions in this room. And I don't want to just skate right past that. For some of you, you're thinking, I would love to help. I would love to give to Access Church. I would love to be a part of this. But man, if you knew what was going on in my financial world right now, if you knew that my finances were upside down, you know, when I get my financial house in order, then I can give. And I want to see this very carefully and very delicately from my own heart, that Stephanie and I have been there. We have been at the point where we've said, God, to make Access Church a financial priority in our life right now requires a lot of faith. It means involving you in our finances in a way that we're not used to. It means saying that we're going to give these first fruits even when we're not sure how the rest of it's going to take care of itself. And I just want to encourage you as your pastor to say, it is an amazing thing to involve God in your finances even when you're not sure where that's going to take you. And God can do amazing things in your life. I want that for you, not because we need your money, but because of what God can do in your life when you open your hands up to him that way. Maybe you're on the other end of the spectrum and you say, you know, I have the resources. I have the capacity to give and to help this church, but you have to convince me that there is a need. Occasionally, I get to take my kids out for ice cream. And I never would have believed this before I was a dad, but it's absolutely true that it is more fun to be the dad in the ice cream shop than it is to be the kid. Isn't that true? It is so fun to lift your kids up and help them look through the glass, and they see all these different flavors and their eyes just get like this, and they pick something out, and then they've got their cone and they're kind of doing this thing, and and before I even get a chance to pay for the ice cream, inevitably my children are saying to me, Dad, you've got to taste this. It's great. And they're reaching their cone up to me and they're sharing from the bounty that they have just received. Now, I just gave it to them. They don't need to give back to me, but they are so excited about what they've been given. They want to share it back with me. Listen, let me leave you on a little secret. Maybe you already know this. God doesn't need your money. But as your father, God rejoices when you share back with him out of the bounty of what you've received. I don't want you to give out of need, but I want for you as your pastor to give back to God through supporting your local church out of an excitement, out of a bounty of what God has done in your life and how richly he has blessed you. Here's the thing. We're already doing this, and we could probably continue to press forward and do this without making this public, without having this conversation this morning. But here's why it is so important that I will talk about this in our foyer environment, even though I know we have guests with us this morning. And don't miss this. I don't want you to miss this opportunity. Because in 2 years or in 10, when we see the lives have been changed through Access Church, you're going to have the opportunity to say, I was a part of that. A friend of yours might say, oh man, I got to talking with so-and-so the other day, and they were telling me how Access Church has totally changed their life. You were there, right? You were a part of that. And I want you to be able to say, oh man, it was crazy. We didn't know how we were going to do it. It was a stretch. We didn't know how God would provide, but we opened up our hands and we watched God do amazing things. You see, we're getting ready to take off on a journey. It's like in college when you were leaving on spring break and you had the car packed. You knew exactly where you were going for spring break. You had a map for how to get there. And you knew you were going to have a great time on this road trip. And we just want to invite you along for the trip. And we need you to kick in for gas money. Our goal is to raise $300,000 between now and December 31st. That's a lot of gas money. But we believe that with $300,000 that we can raise here locally through visionary giving, paired with a matching gift from our friends in Atlanta, we can see God create amazing contexts in here where people can pursue intimacy with God, community with other believers, and influence with outsiders. We believe that we can create environments that help us reach a generation that feels alienated from church. And that money enables us to hire the right staff, rent the right facilities, and create the right context for a church that is going to change this community, that is going to leave Jacksonville a different place because of how we have risked and how we've asked God to use us. So please take a brochure from the information table after the service and prayerfully consider how you might stretch as a family to help this church financially. And let me see if I can use an illustration to emphasize why this is so important. A couple of summers ago, my family and I visited a friend of my mom's. And this gentleman is in his mid-70s, and he is a World War II bomber pilot. And as we were visiting his home, he took me down to his office. And he began to tell me stories about what it was like to fight in the European theater in World War II. And he opened up his bottom drawer and he pulled out some photographs that he evidently had not shared with other people. And he began to show me a photograph of the plane that he flew and another photograph of the crew members that flew with him and of the missions that they had been assigned in Europe. And he began to get choked up as he talked about brothers that he had lost in combat. And he was humble and he was proud all at the same time. And I was blown away. And all I could say was thank you. Here you were part of a generation that had the opportunity, the responsibility of a lifetime, and you rose to that occasion. And he pointed at a picture and he said, I was part of that. I helped change the world. You see, there will be a day when we will have the opportunity to reflect back on what God has done here at Access Church. And we can either say, I was on the front lines. I took a risk. I'm still not sure exactly what we were thinking, but we took a risk and asked God how he might use us. Or you might say, I was there and I saw it, but I just wasn't sure. And so I let others take the lead. This is the opportunity of a lifetime. Because our middle and high school students need a youth pastor who can partner with their parents to help them navigate the waters of adolescence. Because we want to create a shared learning experience for elementary students and their parents, and we need to do that right. Because we really believe that sitting around the kitchen table, looking each other eye to eye, is the best place to encourage and love and support and challenge each other. Because singles need to be in healthy relationships with other singles. Because parents need to be empowered to teach their students about God. Because your neighbor, your friend at work, your mom, your brother-in-law, your sister, your son's coach, your best friend, your spouse, needs to know that Jesus is real and can change their life now and forever. And that's why the mission is so important that we will talk about it in this foyer environment today. Because we really believe that heaven and hell are real places. Because we really believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Because we believe that the Creator God wants to know you now and forever. And we just feel like everybody ought to know that. And as far as we can tell from reading this, we're God's only strategy for communicating that to the rest of the world. And so we had better do it right. We have a strategy. We have a destination. We have a mission that Jesus gave us. And let me invite you to be a part of literally changing the world around us. Dear God, this church is not ours. And this mission that we're on is not yours. And this strategy, we really believe, is yours. And we just want to offer it all back to you because, God, even starting this church was not our idea. It was yours. And we commit every aspect of what happens in this church back to you. We commit our finances and we commit our strategies. But even more importantly, God, we commit our children and we commit our neighbors and we commit our friends to you. And we ask that you would help us change the world around us to bring people into these relationships where they can know you and know other believers and change the world around us. God, we trust this all back to you. You are amazing.
Thanks for being here. You're dismissed. We'll see you in 2 weeks on November the 4th. Have a good day.
Waiting for the baby dedication. We're gonna just give it about 10 minutes or so. So if you